Well, as was already mentioned, today is Father's Day. Our tradition has been to have a Father's Day message, as well as Mother's Day on Mother's Day. Some of us have been fathers for a few years, some for a few decades. Some of us are fathers of toddlers, some are fathers of adults. We could probably spend some profitable time together, each father just sharing a few things that you have learned in your journey of fatherhood. Probably be a variety of responses. Being a good father, I believe, is a process, sometimes by trial and error. We have things we can learn from our own upbringing, our own father. But I think we'd all say, and I would say it myself, I still have a lot to learn. And in fact, I believe it's probably easiest to preach a Father's Day message when you're at the very beginning of it, and you have a lot of high ideals and a lot of enthusiasm. And maybe at the very end, when your children have left, that would seem like a good time. To me, it seems like right where I am at is probably one of the harder times, because I'm right in the middle of it, and we have our own challenges. I have my own needs and things to continue to work at. So I'm not here preaching a message that I feel like I don't need any. I need help myself to keep being the father and keep being the leader in a home of seven children with a scattering of ages. But we'd like to share a message and encourage ourselves this morning. The title of the message is The Effective Father. The word effective means producing a decided and desired effect. Where would we turn to in the Bible to look for a father? We'd say, now here was one that was effective. He produced a decided and desired effect. Appreciated the devotions. David and Solomon. But I think that in that story, and we'll touch on that later, that there's a sense that we all even make choices, even in adult life. Solomon later in life made choices that he should not have. Well, we'd like to look at the book of Esther for a message from someone that we would say is an unlike candidate for an example of an effective father. He was a eunuch. He was not married, but he raised the child. In fact, he raised his cousin. And a number of things here in this story that I believe we can take home to us as fathers and try to put to practice. We'd like to look at Esther chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I'll read this at this time. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjaminite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, the king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, the keeper of the women. And the maidens pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification, which things as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the woman's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. I think there's 12 different things that we'll pull out of this little story of how we can be an effective father. First of all, an effective father takes the charge. Notice how it says he took for his own daughter. Mordecai was committed to care for this little girl, Hadassah. Very likely that first day was riveted into his mind, that first day with little Hadassah. Made a memory. He probably felt the weight of responsibility. I believe he desired to honor the values of her parents. He would have known them. I would think so. It was his uncle, an aunt. But I believe that put a weight on him to teach her the values of her deceased parents. I think also he recognized his inexperience. This is a road that he had not gone down before. And he realized that he only had one chance. He very likely thought about his disadvantages. He did not have a home with a feminine touch. And he may have thought that maybe this is impossible. Maybe I'm not the one to do this. But I don't think he continued down that path real long. It says that he took for his own. He was willing to take the charge. He did not shirk the responsibility of his orphaned cousin. Today, there's many fathers that are shirking their responsibilities of their own children. And the children are left to grow up instead of, like Mordecai, he took for his own. He took for his own. And I believe that's something that we fathers, we need to underscore, that we take for our own. An effective father takes the charge, and it burdens him. It puts a weight on him. He thinks about it, this responsibility. I'm sure Mordecai would lay in bed thinking about this responsibility. I think he put some thought into it. How can he be effective? How can he be successful to be and to fill the father role to Hadassah? Secondly, an effective father envisions the potential. Notice in verse 7, and he brought up Hadassah. A couple things about this, thinking about the envisioning the potential. He set conditions to bring Hadassah up to her God-given potential. And also I see some priorities here. You know, he did not bring her up however she would go, but he had a priority. He did not allow her just to bring up herself. You know, thinking about Mordecai, he had an important job in the kingdom. He had access to the high and the mighty. He was surrounded with the riches of the empire. Do you think that as he would sit across the table from little Hadassah, that somehow that dimmed his view of this little girl that he would have supper with? I don't think so. He had a high view. I believe he envisioned the potential of this little girl, Hadassah. Little did he know that he was raising a future queen here. He didn't think about that unless God somehow gave him a vision. But I believe an effective father keeps the great potential of each child in view. And that's a challenge for us fathers as we sit around the table with our children. Do we see the great potential? We look into their faces and their eyes and have a wonderment of where God will lead these children. And where God will place them and who they will influence. You know, that is huge. But that's when we're envisioning the potential. And that will have an effect on how we relate to these children that we've been given. An effective father keeps the great potential of each child in view. So many things to distract us from this. Thirdly, the effective father gives direction. We notice this in verse 10. Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. Did Mordecai say, well, I'm not sure. I'm kind of thinking that maybe you shouldn't. I wonder if you should. I don't get that idea from Mordecai. He was a man that gave direction, gave some clarity. I don't think he was a repeater. Did Esther grow up learning when Mordecai meant business? You know, when his voice gets to this octave, then you got to move. Before that, you don't have to do anything. I don't think so. We don't have stories of this relationship. But I believe that he was someone that was clear, gave direction. I don't think he said, well, Hadassah, it's time to go to bed. 5 minutes later, Hadassah, didn't I say it's time to go to bed? 5 minutes later, now pick up your toys right away, dress for bed. And 2 minutes, well, till I count to 10, you better be in bed. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. We fathers can get in our ruts and sometimes we need to stand back and, well, what am I doing? Am I giving direction? Am I insisting on what I'm saying? The effective father gives direction that is clear, precise, and consistent, and he follows through with it. There's not a lot of surprises. As fathers, and maybe it's just me, but we tend to be vague and suggestive and inconsistent. And we need to help each other in this, and I need your help. Because, after years of doing it, it's some of the ditches we can get into. That we maybe aren't there initially, but after 10, 20 years, we can become a little more careless in giving clear direction and insisting on it. Fourthly, the effective father fills the supportive role. Notice this in verse 11. To know how Esther did. You know, at this time, Esther was around 20 years of age. And this change of going to the court of the women's house, living there, was a major change, to say the least. They both needed to accept this and the new surroundings. But notice how Mordecai was supportive, very supportive. And it tells us that he was a father that was there in times of struggle and times of difficulty. I don't think he just started doing this when she was 20 years old, but I think this started a long time before this, that when there was difficulty, there was challenges, there was changes, I believe he was there to help her through, get past the challenges. Of course, one of those initial challenges was to not have her father and her mother. And very likely when she was in school, there's other girls that had their mothers. She couldn't talk about her mother because her mother had died. And she may have had some difficult questions for Mordecai. You know, why did God allow my mother to die? I would love to have a mother. You know, the effective father knows when his support is needed and is there. School days, peer pressure, inferiority, the adolescence challenges, courtship, guidelines of the church. It's huge. It's huge to be there when all these different challenges and situations arise in our children's lives. And it is to be that filling that supporter role. And that supporter role doesn't stop when the children all leave home. Some of us still appreciate and enjoy that supporter role that our parents can give us. And so it's really a lifelong thing to be there, have an interest in our children's lives, even after they're married, that we have an interest and give them support through the good days and the testing days. Fifthly, the effective father makes personal sacrifices for his children. Notice that he walked every day in verse 11. He walked every day. His schedule was changed. Something needed to give way, so he had time to walk every day. Walked every day. He didn't. How long a walk it was, I don't know. But he was committed to it. He walked every day to where Esther was. But it does tell us about how he brought up Hadassah and he was willing to sacrifice. It tells us that his lifestyle was not a selfish one. That he was willing to push out to have time for relationship with his daughter. There's things that I think he gave up. I don't think he had a lifestyle of, eating out with the fellows and putting her to the babysitters. There's other things that he could have pursued, sports, hobbies, at her expense. I consider Mordecai taking her into consideration in the lifestyle that he lived, so that it was conducive to her, the lifestyle choices that he made, so that he could meet the needs of little Hadassah. I believe that is very important, that we live a life, some things that we may enjoy that we need to give up, because it's just not that important. And this is where we are. We're raising children for God, and we need to give it up so we can tend to more important things. Eighthly is the effective father establishes roles. We notice in chapter 2, verse 20, Esther had not showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandments of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. That verse reveals a lot. Mordecai had some rules. He had commandments. Esther did the commandments of Mordecai. We all have some laws, some rules, some house rules. Some of them we may not think a lot about. One is, you know, say the truth. Don't lie. Don't hit other children. There's just a lot of those things that we need to just have line upon line, precept upon precept. And there's some rules that may vary from family to family. Here it says that she did the commandments of Mordecai. So there may have been some, and then the congregation, there may be some variation. And our children may sometimes ask about this, and well, this is our home, and I think we need to have that understanding among a congregation that there are some rules that may vary a little. Could vary from family to family. We as fathers, we need to take the teaching moments that come our way. They may come, and we need to take time to talk about why we have this rule. And it could be even just a small thing with a child throwing his candy wrapper out the window. Sorry. We don't do that. And explain why. Table manners. Those are things that are very important. But we have some rules, and our children abide by them. Ninthly, the effective father uses foresight. You're just like the lead person in a canoe that's going through some rapids. He's looking ahead. He's seeing where he should go and guide, so it's safe, so we don't hit the rocks and get overthrown. I believe Mordecai was a father that used some foresight. He seemed to know that he couldn't start late with instruction, like as when she was brought up with him. Verse 20. And that's the challenge that we fathers, we need to think about the future. We need to think ahead. We need to think about ahead of what our goals are for our family. And we can't just continue one thing when we really don't want this for our children. For example, if we wear printed t-shirts and shorts on our five-year-old son, and then a few years down the road we say, well, we really don't want this. We may think, well, this is just children. This doesn't really matter. And then one day we decide, well, this does matter. We're going to stop this. And then we'll discover we have another problem in our hands. fathers, that's so unwise. Chart the course the way you want it when your children are young. And they'll never have those moments where, now dad is making me close my button for church, or he's making me do this. Chart the course when they're young, and they'll never remember those moments. Doesn't mean that we don't talk about why we don't wear printed t-shirts in the farm. Anyway, just a burden that I have for us, that we use foresight. Tenthly, is the effective father is concerned for the future of his children. Verse 11, what should become of her? That's why he took that walk every day. He had a love. And he really wondered, what's going to happen? What should become of her? I believe he prayed about it a lot. That's something we as parents, we need to be praying for our children. They should hear us praying for them by name. They should know without a doubt that we have a concern for their future. We have a burden that they go right and that they make right choices for us. In Mordecai, I did not have a wife to talk things over, like most of us do. But we need to initiate that. And I guess that goes to us fathers, to initiate those conversations. The future of our children. How can we direct them in a right way? 11th is effective father gives his children courage to fulfill their calling. We'll turn to chapter 4, verses 10 through 17. It's a familiar story. I'm not really giving an overview of the story. Now Esther is queen, chapter 4, verse 10. And again Esther spake unto Hathach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, and all the king's servants and the people, the king's provinces, do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, go gather together all the Jews that are present and Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Esther was struggling with fear. She hadn't been called before the king for some time. What if the king did not hand out the scepter? It was a fear she had. She was struggling to rise above that challenge. And Mordecai steps in and appeals to her intellect. He relates to her as an adult. He makes an appeal to her to make a right decision. He raises a question in verse 14 at the end there. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? It's a question that instilled courage in her. And that's a question I need to ask myself. Am I such a father? Am I an encourager? Walking, you can do it. I have faith in you. I think I have my notes in a disorder here. Maybe not. No, I don't think I do after all. But that is a question that we need to think about as fathers. Am I an encourager like he is? He did not, I just marvel at how he related. Did not give a lot of, say a lot, but raised the question. And that's something for us as fathers, to know what to say, to encourage our children in the right way. You know, there's many fathers that fall into the trap of being a discouragement. I have. I can be very easily. But we're not called to be the bear of the household. We're called to be kind and loving in everything that we do. And that's a challenge for us. Be that encourager to help our children make good decisions. Of course, there's that transition, times that we insist on it, but there's a time like this. She's 20 years old. She was not under his umbrella. She needed to make a decision. 12thly and lastly, the effective father depends on God to do a work in the child's heart. And I notice that again with that last saying in verse 14, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You know, I do not have a formula to share that's going to guarantee success. You know, even Esther could have chosen a different path. She could have. But we see how Mordecai pointed her in the right direction. And that's the calling of us fathers, to point our children in the right direction, the right path. Esther needed to decide whether she would continue in it. And we notice that even children with a good start, even into their 20s, can make different choices in midlife. We see that. And that's really not a reflection, at least I don't think, on the parents, because we're people of choice, and yet we as fathers need to do our best that we're not a stumbling block in any way, making it hard for our children to choose Jesus. Our children, family, Jesus is the answer for their need. We as fathers cannot take the place of Christ. They need Jesus in their life, and we do not want to in any way make that difficult. And when we do, we as fathers, we need to humble ourselves and apologize and repent, because we don't want in any way to somehow make it difficult for our children to make right that decision. The effective father depends on God to do a work in our child's heart. We need to recognize that we do have our limitations, and we need God to do a work in their heart and life. And that's when we pray. We pray to God. God can work in circumstances and help them to to be led of God, because obviously fathers are not always there to guide us. And some of you on a day like today are thinking about your fathers, I'm sure, that have passed on and gone to the reward. And we're glad for that memory. And that's a good thing for us as fathers today that are in the heat of the battle. Someday, we will just be a memory. Our children will reflect on us as their father. And we need to think about what from memory do we want them to have. May it be good memories, memories that will have been a help in their walk to finally, ultimately, have Jesus as their personal Savior, to love Jesus, love the church, and to be ready for Jesus' return, and so the family can be a full circle in heaven. That's probably, we know that's the most important. That's the most important. But we cannot forget that, fathers, I dare not forget that, that of all the things that we enjoy, conveniences, improvements of life, properties, nice grass, the most important thing is we have a full family circle in heaven. May God bless us and help us, give us courage to be fathers that are effective. Let's kneel for prayer.